Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Tuesday Vox Pop. Today's scintillating question, marriage. Marriage has been all over the news. States like Utah and Oklahoma have just struck down gay marriage bans. An anti-divorce advocacy group is trying to get the state of Colorado to pass a law requiring all couples who want to get married to go through at least 10 hours of pre-wedding marriage education. And of course, there are constant status updates on the marriages of celebrities and politicians. Just today, pardon me, the New York Post did a story of disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner and his faithful wife, Huma Abedin, as they search for a cheaper apartment in Manhattan. What makes marriage work? Is it fidelity? Then how to do it? Explain Weiner and Abedin and the Clintons. Is it money? Is it love? What are the ingredients a couple needs to make a good marriage? Give us a call. Don't leave me standing here at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online, and you can see all the ways that the people who do at wamc.org/voxpop. I'm looking for you guys to tell me what it is that keeps a marriage together. I've been married for now 44 years. It'll be 45 in September. And I think that's right, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, that's what keeps a marriage together, ignorance of how long you've been married. And, I don't know what the secret ingredients are. I'll have Zach play us a little cut in which Roselle, when we burned the mortgage for the Linda Norris Auditorium, Roselle gave one of the funniest speeches I have ever heard in my whole life. It was fabulous. And I'm going to play you just a little bit of that. Go ahead.
It's not easy living with Alan Shartak. You know, it's amazing. We've been together for 31 years and we have nothing. We have nothing in common. Nothing.
That was the first one. She then went on to the point where the audience was call and response saying, it's not easy being married to Alan Shartak. And then she talked about how it was that we met. So perhaps we could hear that.
I knock my head on the proverbial wall because most of the time you just don't have that concrete evidence. So you're sitting there saying, lady, why are you staying with this guy if you have nothing in common with him? And, you know, it's tough living with Alan Shartak. Well, I'll tell you why I love him. It has to do with when we met, going way, way back, more than the 31 years that we've been together. And I was at Skidmore College, and I was a junior there, and my friend, who was friends with Alan, invited him to come and meet all of her girlfriends. So Alan came to Skidmore, and we all, six of us, sat around listening to him telling stories, and he was so funny. I had tears coming out of my eyes. I said, this guy is one funny guy. And the next day he called up, and he said, you know, Bonnie, I liked all of your friends, but Roselle's the one I'd really like to go out with. And so she asked me, and I said, well, you know, I didn't always have the wonderful values I have now. I actually was so immature as to think that he was too short for me. So I said, I think he's the funniest guy I've ever met. I really would love to be his friend. And so you could tell him that, but I don't really want to go out with him. So that was the end of that. And then a year later, we graduated, and Bonnie got married, and she invited Alan, she invited me. So I re-met Alan at Bonnie's wedding. It took place in her house. And so we're all eating, and I'm sort of talking to Alan, and we decide to go down to the rec room and have lunch together and eat together. And there's a lot of people sitting around the place. And one of my friends from the college, she said, you know, she's starting to talk about how when she gets, you know, into the world, she's going to be a famous writer, and she's going to write about what she knows about, because only great writers write only about what they've experienced. And so Alan said, so does that mean that you could write about and she looked at him, she looked around, totally embarrassed, and ran out of the room. And I sat there with a smile on my face and my mouth a little bit open, saying, this guy is outrageous. And you know something? He's still outrageous. And I hope, Alan, that you will be outrageous for the rest of our lives. I love you so much.
Well, that's what Roselle had to say. Let's go to Vicki in Pittsfield. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Free phones for everybody. 1-800-348-2551. Vicki, your turn.
Oh, hello?
Hi, Vicki, your turn.
Hi. I just wanted to say I was married for 50 years this year. It's been 50 years this year. We were married when we were 18, and nobody thought that would work, although back in those days, it was okay to get married when you were so young. But I was able to finish college and go out and get a master's and have three kids. And he was able to do a lot of the things he needed to do. And I would say that we've always just done a lot of things together. And his weaknesses are my strengths and vice versa.
Well, what are some of those weaknesses? What are some of those weaknesses and strengths?
Well, he's very good with common sense. He's very good with directions. He's very good, I mean, following them in the car. He's very good in a common sense, wonderful, perseverance type of way. And I like to read, and I like to, you know, do a lot of puzzles and figure things out. And so he's not good at that, and I'm not good at what he's good at. But we fit together perfectly through the years, and I can't imagine, not that we didn't have our problems, but I can't imagine life without him. Wouldn't want to. And I think it's because we've always talked well to each other when we've been angry. We've never given up on each other when things have been bad. He's a wonderful dad. He had a really good bringing up, a very good mom and dad, and my mom died when I was born, so there was some, you know, things there that I didn't have. And he was nurturing, incredibly nurturing, and I was nurturing in some other ways. And it's just been wonderful being married to him, and I can't imagine anybody else for me.
Okay, so any rules, Vicki? Any rules to live by for everybody
else? Yeah, well, when you're fighting or any other time, talk to each other with dignity and respect. I mean, don't, you know, keep on subject, whatever it is that's wrong, and don't call each other names or swear at each other. I mean, that took us a few years to figure out, but we learned how to fight. And you just have to treat each other with dignity and respect all of the time and always be thinking of what the other person needs, even when it's clouded by what you so desperately think is the most important thing on earth.
Well, Vicki, good luck to you and congratulations. Sounds like you really got this thing together. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
So the number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And I think your chances of getting in right now are, well, let's see, what percentage? Your chances of getting in right now are 100%. 1-800-323, no, that's wrong. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. What is it that, what are the secrets of people who are stayed married for 50 years like Vicki, or people who say, hey, you know what, these are the rules, this is when you get out, when it doesn't work. You know, I've always had this theory about marriage, which is that, you know, my parents, they had their rough places and their wonderful places, they ended up together, and they were married for a long, long time, and they both passed. But it didn't seem to me that even though they fought sometime, that divorce was an option. And I think there are people who see divorce as an option, as an out, so you'll never know. But let's go to Eric in Florence. I want to hear from everybody out there. Let's go to Eric in Florence. Okay, Eric, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So the only reason why I'm calling now is because I had to run inside. I don't have personal experience with marriage, but I did ask a couple in Nova Scotia their secret to their 40-year-long marriage, and they had two separate responses. His response was fighting rules, and her response was Sarah, which is their daughter. Mm. And their daughter was probably the most unique person I ever met. And she needed a caretaker. And so by that, I just felt like there was some struggle involved with raising that daughter. But I was just wondering if you had any insight on just approaches to tackling a struggle together.
Well, that's a very interesting point. I know one thing. When Roselle and I were married, 1970, back porch on Fire Island, we had no money. And I think part of having, you know, of being together in the beginning, when we both had jobs, but we had no money. Part of it is that struggle, you know, the economic struggle, the idea that you have to pull together in order to make it. Part of it is incredible respect. You know, my respect for Roselle just knows no end. So, but I think you make a very good point that if you have something that you're in together, like a child who needs a caretaker, that drives some people apart, and other people, it just keeps them together. It's a very interesting point, Eric. I'm glad you made it. I wish I could give you advice, because I'm not giving anybody advice, because I don't know. I thank you for the call, Eric. Thanks for calling.
Right. Yeah, bye. Excellent questions. Bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Laura in... we're going to take a break. Laura, you just stay right there. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC goes to Mashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, presenting the Winter Hoot, a festival for children and adults with 15 bands, local foods, crafts and activities for kids and more, February 7th through 9th, MashokanCenter.org. And Berkshire Co-op Market Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop.
Well, we're back, and so are you, and darned if every phone isn't ringing. Let's go to Laura in Albany. Laura, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
I'm from Albany.
Oh, from Albany. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I've been married for 15 and a half years, and I recently the New York Times Online had a very interesting article, and they interviewed all these long-term successfully married couples. And they found that couples had one thing in common of all the marriages, and it was that they felt the other partner expanded their universe.
Hmm. Is that true? Is that true in your marriage?
Oh my God, yes.
How does it work?
We're like you and Roselle, we're complete opposites. We have similar values, but we have none of the same interests.
Interesting. Yeah, that's true in our case. I want to watch, you know, I come home, you know, working here is not the easiest thing in the world. I love it, but it's hard work. And then you get home and, you know, she'll be reading she paints, she does collage, she does this or that, all the things I could never do. And she's writing a book about the Windsor Mountain School. You know, she's had a successful career and did all of that stuff. And all I want to do is watch The Rifleman.
Exactly.
On the
and
main
I
channel.
Think I think I have this the secret advice I give everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Never compromise in marriage.
Well, what does that mean? She has to compromise when I'm sitting there with that drugged look on
her. No, never compromise. You switch off who gets to win.
Oh, I see what you mean. Every other time? Well, that's not the way my marriage...
Or just, not every other time, but instead of deciding to do something you both don't like, one of you lets the other one do what they want because you enjoy seeing the other person happy.
Yeah.
You know, rather than say, I don't want to watch Rifleman, I don't want to watch the sewing show, all right, how about we watch Family Guy and both sit there watching it but not really be happy, say, all right, you can watch Rifleman.
You know, I see your point. In our case, we do it a little bit differently. I always lose.
Well, I'm the beta dog also. I don't feel so bad.
Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. We got three free phones now, and you'll be on in a second if you just call. Let's go to Jonathan, okay, in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi. Actually, I'm not sure anybody knows what makes a successful marriage, because I think they're all successful in their own ways.
You know, Margaret Mead said something like that. I think Margaret Mead, the anthropologist, was married, I think, a dozen times, something like that. And when they said to her, how come so many of your marriages failed? I think her answer was, as I remember reading about it, was they were all good for the time we were doing them.
Right. Anyway,
you make a good point.
And you do know people who have sequential marriages which are good while they're doing it. And then there are other people who have one partner for life. So who knows? It's all particular to the...
And some people who have one partner in life, certainly this is in my case because I'm very lucky, but some people who have one partner for life are miserable.
Well, yes, but they're still having one partner, and it's a bit strange, isn't it, when there are so many, how can I put it? It's reasonably socially easy to get out of it.
Now it is, yeah. I remember when Adlai Stevenson ran for president, he couldn't win. Not only because he was running against Dwight Eisenhower, which is really why he couldn't win, but also because he was divorced.
That was not the case with Mr. Reagan, right?
No. By that time, no. Okay. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yep. Well, that leaves one free phone open. Let's go to Pat in Poughkeepsie. P from P. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I am twice divorced. Luckily, I am... friends with both husbands, but for the past 2 years, I've been seeing a widower who was married for over 50 years.
Ooh.
And said they never argued. They never had an argument in all that time, and of course, I said, well, welcome to my world. But the funny thing is, we met in a nursing home because his wife and my loved one both had Alzheimer's. His wife had it early, and every day for over a year, we saw each other at lunchtime as we fed our loved ones, and it was that loyalty that attracted me to him. His wife had lost her hair from medications, and he would come in and kiss her on top of her little bald head and sit down and kiss her on a cheek and put his arm around her and feed her, and it was the most beautiful thing, and she didn't know him, and he hated going, and when I asked, why do you go, his response was, I think she would do it for me. And so I think that's what it is. It's loyalty. It's loving someone and being loyal, and when you're loyal, you can put up with each other's characteristics that you don't like. And he has taught me so much, and I'm 73, and I'm learning so much from this wonderful person.
And in your marriages, did you have any fights ever?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, in your marriages, did you ever fight?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I was brought up in a fighting environment,
yeah,
and yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, that's
yes, I did. Argued constantly, but as I said, very fortunate for me and for my children. We divorced in a friendly manner.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, thanks for the great call, and thanks for the great
story. Oh, thank you, and for all
story.
That you do.
Thanks for the great
Bye-bye.
Story. Thanks, Pat. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Stephanie in Hudson. Stephanie, welcome from Hudson.
Hi, Alan. It's hard not to get all choked up listening to all these stories. But...
it is. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I got choked up listening to Roselle's story. And,
yeah.
And you know, and I said, oh, boy. Go ahead, Stephanie.
So I'm calling in because I'm a mom of a smaller child. And
yep.
My husband and I, the way that we have split things is he's working. He works for himself. He works like basically a job and a half working for himself. He works about 7 days a week, and then I stay home. And that's the way that we've split it for ourselves to make sanity in our family, because basically with him working as much as he does for himself, it's impossible for me to work and for things to work in our family. But I wonder, as I see my friends with similar age children, when very often when both of the parents are working, just the amount of stress in their families and how they just don't hardly have time for themselves or even to talk to each other or to go out on dates or anything. And I just wonder how much of the high divorce rates now has to do with, you know, 50 years ago, okay, it wasn't socially acceptable to get divorced, but also you had to sustain one middle-class family, you only really had to have one working adult. And now it seems like to sustain a middle-class family, you have to have two.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be so nice if we didn't have to. Like, it would be wonderful for two people to have both part-time jobs. Mm. But because of benefits and health insurance and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's really hard for two people in a family to both have part-time jobs. But you know, just the amount of stress on a family when both people are working is amazing.
No, it is. On the other hand, I think there, you know, I have a friend who passed, and she wrote a book on retirement, and she said that when her husband retired, she said, "Not for lunch." You know, I didn't sign up for that. So sometimes when, you know, people have diverse occupations or are out of the house, it may be actually helpful. Do you ever think of that?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's why I'm thinking, like me, I would love to have a part-time job, not just be at home completely all the time, but it just doesn't quite work out for us. So having that, you know, intellectual societal outlet of working, but then also having more time for the family, too,
yeah,
and finding that balance.
Hey, Stephanie, thanks for the call.
That's my 2 cents. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
At least one phone open. Let's go to Ray in Stamford, Vermont. Ray, you're on.
Hi there. I'm surprised that you're not receiving more calls on this topic.
Well, actually, all the phones are ringing now, but it takes a little time before you want to lay it all out.
Yeah.
But then inevitably it happens. Go ahead, Ray.
I am calling. We were married, a little over 3 years ago on May 10th, and in the great state of Vermont, and it was on our 25th year of being together. My partner Tim and I are a gay marriage, and I'm calling just to say, you know, there's a lot of mystique around it, and we experience a lot of the same patterns and emotions that heterosexual couples do. I think one of the keys in our long-term relationship has been great communication. I think if you can communicate with your partner well and avoid a lot of the hang-ups that surround us all, you can have a really nice, fantastic relationship.
So let's stop at that last thing. You know, gay marriage is relatively new, and obviously there are many of us who think it's just the most wonderful thing in the world that it's happening, and then there are those who disapprove. And I take it that when you say you can sort of screen out, I don't want to put words in your mouth, the negativity around it, that's what you're talking about?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. How do you handle it when somebody gives you the eye?
Well, it's something that it's not new. You've handled it your entire life, and I think it's been it's been very well received. I'm very fortunate, very blessed. We've had nothing but great positiveness surrounding it from family, friends, and people that we don't know. So it's been wonderful. It's nice to live and take advantage of some of the benefits that surround being married. And it's just, you know, it's a nice way to put a stamp on 28 years of being together and celebrating our love. It's important to us. I think for anybody getting together or considering marriage, I think it's important that everybody knows that, you know, what you see on TV, what you see in the media and movies, it's not always like that. And I think, you know, it takes work. I think people think that it's going to be like Pretty Woman. You're going to meet someone, you're going to ride off in the sunset, and it's going to be just absolutely perfect. And you're going to have many ups, many downs, and it's how you handle those downs is what's going to make those ups be so much nicer.
Ray, any fast rules for handling downs?
No.
No. Okay, just got to play them.
If anybody out there has all the great answers, I'd love to hear them. Mm-hmm. I think it's different for every couple. I don't think you can model yourself after your parents. I don't think you can model yourself after your friends. You have to kind of make your own rules for what works for you and your partner.
Well, you're a very wise man, Ray, and I thank you for this terrific telephone call. Thank
you. Welcome.
Thanks
as always. Keep up the great work.
Thanks. Let's go to Reginald in Hartford. Okay, Reginald, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Good.
We're good. How about you?
I'm doing okay. You know, I don't know. With only 12 years of marriage under my belt, I don't know if I can answer the age-old question, what keeps everybody together. But our baseline has really always been the kids, and it works out to this. are we better for the kids together, or are we better for the kids apart? And so far, we've always answered that question, we're better for the kids together.
Yeah. It's an interesting issue as to whether or not kids help marriages, whether they're sometimes hurt marriages. You know, I mean, somebody may be shocked that I say that, but, you know, we love our children and all the rest of it, but there has to be something that's going on between the two major participants that is not related to the children, don't you think?
You know what? We're both kids of parents who got divorced, and in our minds, they got divorced under selfish pretenses. It was about them, not the family unit. I do agree with you, you have to have more than one piece of the puzzle, but what's your biggest piece of the puzzle? What's the most important thing to you? And for us, it's the family unit and not being selfish in our own desires. Even my father says, you know, everybody has a right to be happy, and I don't disagree with that, but that's very selfish if you being happy hurts the four other people in the room.
Well, you know, I have to be honest with you. I've seen marriages where, you know, the husband and the wife or have really not done too well with each other. And in some of those cases, the kids have got to see this. This is not good.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the second part of the question. Is us together worse for the kids? Because you've got to look at it honestly.
No, you did say that. Hey, Reginald, that's a great call. Thank you so much for making it. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah,
bye. It's 1-800-348-2551. We got three people on the line. Two empty lines now. Let's go to Marta in Poughkeepsie. Okay, Marta.
Hi, Dr. Shark Talk. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have lots of thoughts about marriage. You know, I came from a broken home, they call it, when your mom and dad get divorced. So I got to watch that. And, you know, they really tried to patch it up a couple times, and I learned from them that no matter how much you love each other, if you can't stand each other, you shouldn't be together.
Mm.
And then also the thing about marriage, like in the olden days, and I know you're older, you're not ancient.
No, I'm 72,
you know,
yeah.
In the old days, you had to get married. Otherwise, you were basically considered a whore, you know, if you were a woman. Mm. And, you know, unsuccessful persons if you weren't married with children. Now, today, in the modern world, conditions are a little different.
Absolutely. We have a governor who is living with somebody who's not his wife, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. That used to be considered a sin. Now it's acceptable. And even having children out of wedlock.
Well, some people still consider it a sin.
Yeah.
I don't.
It depends how fundamentalist we are, of course. And, of course, 70% of marriages I hear end in divorce, and it's a heck of a lot easier
70?
To get married.
Is it 70 now? I was
it's 70. Last number I heard, and it's a heck of a lot easier to get married than to get divorced, and it's a lot cheaper.
Sure.
Unless
sure.
you have a real expensive wedding. But it's
which they are all doing now. Yeah.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Save the money for the divorce.
Or save the money for the down payment on your house.
Or anything.
That's the lecture I'm giving these days. Yeah, go ahead.
I also wanted to talk about how studies have shown that married men are a lot healthier and happier than single men, and it's just the opposite for women. Single women are a lot healthier and happier than married women. Now,
is that right?
Yeah, you know why this is? I read this in the paper a few years ago. It's because men earn twice the money women make, and so a lot of women get married for security because they can't make enough money to survive on their own, and if they want to have children, they're definitely going to have a hell of a time. So if we had, like, a guaranteed annual minimum income for everyone, regardless of conditions in their lives, people wouldn't have to, like, sell themselves, literally, to somebody because he makes a good income.
Well, you make a very good point. On the other hand, if a pig just flew through this room, a pig would have flown through the room. Neither of those things are going to happen, at least not in the next couple of years, don't you think?
Yeah, but maybe after that, because, you know, we hear a lot about the gap in the incomes that is just, like, unreal.
Yeah.
You know, and there's more than enough money for everyone to have, like, what? What's $40,000 a year? Is that considered poverty these days? Because that's a heck of a lot of money compared to what a lot of people I know are living on.
Very close. Yeah.
And I wanted to say another thing, you know, like, marriage seems to click a button called autopilot, where all of a sudden a happy relationship turns into a property relationship. Like, I own you, you own me, and we're going to do like mom and dad did before us. You know, like, it's hard not to imprint on the patterns. Mm-hmm. And the society is patriarchal, and it always benefits men as long as it remains that way. So when those problems come with, like, custody battles or, you know, disputes, family problems, domestic violence, so prevalent, It's really...
Well, there are a lot of men who would disagree with that, Marta, who would say that, you know, I got screwed, I can't see my kids, I, you know, I have to give all this money, and, you know, there are two sides to that story, that's
for
sure.
I know, my dad used to say, you got to feed the cow you milk. And I was like, Dad, what's that? Besides, you know, you don't milk a bull.
That's terrible.
You know, I knew what he said is what you just said, because he feels like if I can't see the kids and be living with them, I shouldn't have to pay support for them. It's
sure.
Like, you know what? You brought me turning into the world.
It's an angel. Well, let me say this. I got to think about all the things
okay.
you said, Marta.
I want to say one other tiny
yeah, sure.
thing. I'm with a woman 31 years now, and I think we should get married because now we can.
Yeah.
But she won't marry me because I haven't gotten rid of the clutter. Okay,
well, yeah, there. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Our house is a museum, but we go into other people's houses, and there's not one thing on the table. That nothing. It's all just open.
All
yeah.
right. Thanks for listening, to all my.
Hey,
thoughts.
Marta, you raised an awful lot of important points. I thank you. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Let's go to. No, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Snow Farm Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. Proctor is presenting Broadway actress Kristen Chenoweth Sunday, February 9th at 7 p.m., proctors.org for tickets. And Waldorf School Saratoga, hosting an open house Saturday, January 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with all locations open for tours. WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Thank you, Zachary, for bringing us back. Okay, beam us up, Zachary. Okay, now we will go to Judith in Hudson. All right, Judith in Hudson, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Judith.
We are an older couple. We married when I was 55 and he was 62, and we're doing just fine. And we have a couple of, we don't talk about it a lot, but basically it's we went into the marriage realizing that we could get along just fine without anybody. And I believe that's important in coming into a marriage, is not leaning at a 45-degree angle, but really being happy with yourself that you could be alone. But we prefer it because it enhances our lives. And we've always tried to encourage each other. That's another big one. And never holding back. If it means 2 weeks away in a workshop in the summer and it's a good deal, a person goes to teach or whatever, we encourage. And I always think of that lovely Gibran image of the two trees where he talks about marriage and says that your branches are entangled, but let the winds of the heavens blow between your trunks. And I think that's good because we are not that tight. We let air in. We are away from each other from time to time. We sort of work parallel in the house, and sometimes I see him and sometimes I don't. We come together for supper or something.
Is it
and
important?
I had to laugh at the... Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is
Go
it
ahead.
Important to live in a city like Hudson, a wonderful city like Hudson?
Yes.
It's a great...
I couldn't hear you. Would you
say
that again?
I said, is it important to live in a great city like Hudson?
I don't live in Hudson. I live in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, it said here Hudson, so I just said Hudson. Okay, let me change that to a great city like Saratoga Springs. No, go ahead, Judith. You
well,
will
I had to laugh at your last comment about the clutter that your last person said, because that was the one thing that I told him. Who has the most? He has the most wonderful inner drawers. All of his drawers and everything inward are absolutely organized, but the outside is Collier's. And I told him that if we lived together, we had to agree that the external, which is important to me, remain nice. So that was the only pragmatic thing.
Yeah. Well, Judith, everybody has their likes and dislikes. I don't complain when they leave the dishes unwashed in the sink. The family does. I just wash them, and then I say something sometimes. But that's the way. But that's life. Hey, Judith, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Dennis in Kingston. Dennis.
Hello, Dr. Shartok. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you, sir.
Thank you. I was just going to comment on my generation, and which is similar to yours. We were children of World War II generation people.
Right.
And the stigma of divorce in that era was wicked strong, you know?
Sure.
It kept a lot of marriages together rather than, you know, leave, you know, a dysfunctional alcoholic husband or whatever, you know.
Sure.
It was better to just tough it out because sure. divorce was, it was just really overpowering. For I know in my mother's case it was like that, you know. So it was, I guess that had something to do with keeping the family hearth alive one way or the other.
No, you're right. But what about now, Dennis?
Now it's changed so much, and it's like the other caller said, I mean, the rate of divorce is so high that it's still with us in a way, because now the children suffer quicker, I think, so on some levels. You know, a lot of divorces really destroy a happy childhood one way or the other, no matter how good you are about it, you know. Yeah. So there's that there.
You make a good point.
As a part of the piece, you know. I mean, it's just not easy, but it's also, you know, our society, if one or the other is not happy, particularly financially, it seems easier to, you know, jump the fence and try to shoot for greener pastures.
Yeah, as the old song goes, the grass is always greener in the other fellow's yard.
Yeah, right. In Ireland, they say the far steer has the longest horn.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, all the best. Thanks.
You too. Let's go to Jim in North Pownall, Vermont. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I want to congratulate you for the longevity of your relationship.
Well, you should not congratulate me. You should just congratulate Roselle. Because
okay, I'll congratulate Roselle.
She's the one. She's the one who has put up with all the pain. Go ahead.
I've been married twice and divorced twice, and the first one was very short and very unsweet. The second one was very long and very fruitful. And I just think that my parents had the right solution to the problem.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to quote my mother, but it wasn't my mother that initiated the quote. She borrowed it from somebody else. But she says, never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight it out.
Really? I don't agree with your mother.
You don't?
Nah.
Oh, my God.
You know, there are times that it looks so bad, you go to sleep and you say, oh, God, what is this here? You know, why
well,
am I
my
saying
my
this? And you wake up the next morning and you feel bad.
My mom and dad did 65 years together.
Yeah.
And they did 65 very happy years together.
Right.
And I just, I respect them so much, it's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody has their own way of looking at it. You know, and I think somebody earlier said that, you know, there are different ways of doing it. I just feel very fortunate and very happy. But, you know, part of it is just who you are. And are you a contentious person? Nobody would ever say that about me, of course. And
pardon me for laughing.
Yeah, you're right. Well, pardon me for offering it as a joke. That's right. So everybody's different. There are some people who are very, you know, are very quiescent, very quiet. They don't fight. Then there are those people who are always sort of testing every proposition.
Yep.
And that's fascinating. I mean, Roselle always tells people that the reason she married me is that I made her laugh.
And but, you know, the real secret to the whole thing is just work it out.
Sure.
However you can work it out,
sure.
Work it out.
Sure, sure, sure. She said, I made her laugh, but she seldom laughs at my jokes. Okay, Jim, thanks so much for calling.
Great talking with you.
You
bye.
Too, bye. Okay, and let's go to Barbara in Chester, where everybody knows Mr. Dillon and has a cat. Go ahead, Barbara, you're on.
Oh, hello, Alan.
Hello,
I never thought I would ever call in, though I enjoy NPR tremendously.
Yeah.
And spend all day listening to it. We have been married for 58 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
And after we met, we spent 3 years going out and having fun, finishing college and saving money. And I think having that long time to become good friends.
Right.
And to know more about each other. I mean, you never know everything until you get married. But we had some of the same interests, reading.
Was your courtship was your courtship harder or easier than the marriage itself?
About the same, I would say.
Interesting. Not in our family. Our going out days were much rougher than once we got married. I don't know what that was all about, but it's true.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I loved your story, and I loved listening to your wife. On,
yeah, not being easy to be married to me. I don't get that whole part.
Well, it was it's been very easy to be married to my husband,
yeah.
Who through the years, even the children learned, was very amenable to almost everything.
Uh-huh.
And maybe once or twice a year would dig in his heels.
Yeah.
And then we would all say, okay.
My father
that's
was
his time.
My father was the same way. But when that once or twice came, go hide under the bed. Very interesting, Barbara. Very interesting. Well, congratulations on such a long-term marriage and for all your wisdom. I appreciate the call very much.
Okay. And thank you for all the wonderful programs.
You are very
just
welcome.
Just marvelous.
On behalf of that whole staff of ours, you're welcome. Thanks, Barbara.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce, you're on.
Right. I have two found and profound epigrammatic quotes.
Ooh.
About marriage, whether it's gay or non-gay, forced, divorced, arranged, whatever. The first is by H.L. Mencken. Marriage is a wonderful institution, but who wants to live in an institution?
Yeah, I know that one, yeah.
And the second is by Benjamin Franklin. If there is marriage without love, there will be love without marriage.
Ooh. That's interesting. I had to think about that for a minute. And he practiced
right.
And he practiced what he preached. Believe me, I've been reading a lot about Franklin.
Yes, he did.
he did. So are you married?
Not at the moment, no.
Are you down on marriage?
Not necessarily. If it works, I think it works.
Mm.
And if it doesn't work, well, it didn't work for me because I chose badly.
Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Please.
No, my fault. I chose badly.
Well, that doesn't sound like you're thinking it's your fault. I think, when you say you chose badly, what does that mean?
That means I should not have chose the particular women that I chose to marry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So why did you make those mistakes?
That's a long-eared question. that would be a long-eared answer.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot that goes into that. It's a whole history going back to.
Does it have to do
my?
Yeah. Okay.
My childhood, my
sure.
family, which led me to make mistakes.
Okay. Hey, Bruce, I want to get everybody in, and I thank you for the call and your honesty and your decency. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ron in Colony. Ron in Colony, you're on.
Hello, Al.
Hello, Ron.
You might recognize me. I'm the guy who always calls up and gives your doctors a hard time because I study natural health.
Okay.
And I know I get under your collar.
Okay.
But when you said that you go home and watch The Rifleman.
Yeah.
That is, I always tell people, there's really only one television program on TV. It's The Rifleman. isn't it? It's the greatest program, and they just keep running it. They
yeah,
never
no, that's
it
the,
pro-
the problem is that I'm, the problem is I say, oh, this is the one in which, this happens.
oh, yeah, I mean, I can go through the,
It's just mindless dreck. That's what it is. I mean, every single time, basically,
yeah.
You know the plot.
It kills two or three people. But it's always good. It's always a good,
It's quite simple. And of course, the man was a Republican. So,
of course.
So,
I mean, we're on the same side on some things, but maybe a few different things on the health side.
Yeah, but when you watch, when you're sitting there, you just, I mean, it means nothing. It's just that you're drained. Now, there,
it takes you away.
I draw the line. I'm not going to watch the next dumb program, which is Gilligan's Island.
That's all I watch. I watch that, and I like to watch Jeopardy. And that's about it, you know. It's
okay.
But you have to go to North Fork for just a couple of minutes at least every night.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks a lot, Alan.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to Bob in Saratoga. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, so I'd just like to present a perspective on the male side of the situation,
okay.
Particularly divorce and marriage. You know, basically it seems like in the divorce situation, the man is always guilty until proven innocent. At least that was the case I had. With a divorce, I wasn't allowed to mention my side of everything. They're basically a gag order.
That's another program. We're going to do that
so
program. We're going to do
oh,
that.
I thought
program.
You were talking about the marriage instead of the rifleman.
No, what I want to know is why. I gotcha. Why one stays in a marriage? What are the secrets of a long marriage? Do you have any insight on that one?
Well, we were married about 25 years, but basically I just overlooked a lot of my ex's faults.
Yeah.
Basically, a mental illness, adultery, everything. And I had committed none of those, transgressions.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, you know, there are some things you can't put up with in a marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I put up with it. Unfortunately, I basically gave too much leeway for the fact that she was using mental illness as an excuse for adultery, alleging bipolar and hypersexuality caused by bipolar and all this other nonsense, institutionalization and whatnot. And again, I got basically nothing for sticking around for 25 years and being faithful.
Yeah, Bob. You know? It's just we only have two more minutes, and I thank you for the call. And I, you know, there are limits. There are limits on what one should do in staying around. I appreciate your call. I'm sorry for the pain.
No, that's all right. It's been 10 years, so I'm not worried. It's not the pain anymore.
Okay, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye.
Let's go to Marie in Belchertown, where everybody owns a restaurant. Marie, you're on.
Hi. You know, just listening to the previous caller, I might be better for another show. I tuned in a little bit late.
That's okay.
But I did want to address, I was married for almost 30 years, and no matter how long you're married and how old your children are, I think divorce is... hugely detrimental to them.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's
maybe
true.
maybe even worse the older they get.
Yeah.
But I also, and again, it might be for another show, wanted to at least bring attention to the relatively new laws that have been passed in Massachusetts regarding cohabitating for former spouses. And in the case of divorce in Massachusetts, I am receiving alimony and therefore cannot not only not remarry, but not cohabitate.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that.
Which leaves me in a position of financial doom because I do have a partner. And could we cohabitate at this late age approaching, you know, retirement? We could live a much better life, but we have to keep two residences.
I got to look that one up. That is really fascinating. I had no idea.
Yeah, and it was a huge lobby group that went down very quietly, went through very quietly, and I, you know, spent a lot of money going to an attorney to see if there's any way around this, and there's really not.
I always thought
other than the women need to be aware, and in some cases men, if the woman is the high earner.
Yeah, I always thought both of us live in Massachusetts, Marie, you and I, I always thought my state was a progressive state. What would make them do that?
A really strong men's rights lobby group.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, Marie, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We are going to leave a record number of people on the phone this time, and I apologize for it. We started a little slow, and we ended fast. And for most of the show, there have been five people on the lines out of five phones, and we all have stories. These are the stories that affect us, affect our lives, affect our children. And I so much appreciate everybody calling. We are out of time. Thanks to everybody who we left on the line, Rick and Keith and Mary and Joe. I feel very badly about that. Next time, call a little earlier. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Subsidium Technologies, working to help enterprises use custom communications and cloud services to help improve information technology environments. SubsidiumTech.com. And the Springfield Museums, featuring Intent to Deceive, Fakes and Forgeries in the Art World, exploring infamous art scandals of the past century. January 21st through April 27th, the Moore Museum of Fine Arts, springfieldmuseums.org for info. And the Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School, a kindergarten through 12th grade public school, hosting an open house for middle and high school students on January 23rd, pvcics.org for info. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/voxpop. Our engineer has been the wonderful Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach, equally wonderful. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.